Give a welcome again to Andy. Glad to have him this evening. We're going to ask him to come, give his testimony. Pray the Lord will richly bless him. And as he speaks this night, that the Lord be glorified through all that he has to say. The Lord bless you, Andy. And may you know God's blessing.
It's a great joy to be in the house of God tonight. I'm just thinking there's a drinking den next door. He can change your life and set your spirit free. I thank God tonight the spirit that I have doesn't dwell in a bottle, but dwells in me tonight. Testimony. David says in Psalm 66, verse 12, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul." And what must one do when they're giving a testimony? Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. But Jesus hath found me happy in my case, and I am a sinner, saved by grace. Friend, I want to encourage you tonight in the church. There's no one beyond the reach of prayer. No one. And I thank God tonight that someone prayed for me. So please tonight, as a believer, if you've got an unsaved husband, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Keep praying. An unsaved wife, keep praying. A wayward child, a wayward son or daughter, keep praying. I was brought up in East Belfast, just the lower Woodstock Road. My mum had four boys and four girls. They were not religious in any shape or form. The older generation would remember those particular days. And how sad it is today, this generation. Those were days, even if you were in an unsaved home, you were made to go to Sunday school. Whether you liked it or not, either it was to give your mother's headpiece. That's exactly what it was about. And you know, friends, how true the word of God is. It's quite remarkable when you come to know Christ as your Saviour. I'm not going to say this book becomes alive. It's already alive. It changes hearts. You see, the natural man is even not the things of God, because it's pretty discerned. But see, once you come to Christ, this is a different book. It's wonderful. And I can relate to every passage of Scripture contained in it. Example, Proverbs 1 verse 8, "My son, despise not the instruction of your father, nor the law of your mother. All we like sheep have gone astray, every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." You see, even in an unsaved home, there was rules. And those were the days when you wouldn't have addressed a senior citizen by their first name. It was "we Mrs. such and such, or we Mr. so and so." Great days. But you know, I was a young man who rebelled at a very early age against the instructions of my father and the advice of my mother, which were to have terrible, tragic consequences further down the line. I was a young man who wanted nothing whatsoever to do with discipline of any shape or form. I wanted to be my own boss and do my own thing. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. And this continued through my primary school and secondary school years. And sadly, through the influence of an older brother who was a compulsive gambler, I became addicted to gambling at 7 years of age. And I would have done anything at all to satisfy my crave for gambling, which started with stealing from my mother's purse and from others who I deemed to be vulnerable. I had a mouth like a sewer pipe. I was everything that the Word of God tells us about the human heart. Every letter of the alphabet, I do not desire to go into it. And friends, tonight, the good Apostle Paul says in Romans 6 and 21, speaking in the past tense, "What profit had ye then in those things that you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things of death." I want to make it clear tonight, I am ashamed of my past. I have no desire whatsoever to go into any great detail. But I need to tell you tonight, if you know your Bible, friends, the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. "Who can know it, saith the Lord? One writer has rightly said, no one can tell how low a man or woman will stoop in their wickedness to their fellow human being because of the human heart. So I gambled compulsively from I was 7 years of age. I had a mouth like a sewer pipe. I would have stood in a bookmaker's shop from 12 o'clock midday to 5 o'clock at night, Monday to Saturday. I robbed Peter to pay Paul. And through the early influences, young men, of course I was young myself, but slightly older than me, through the influence of young boys older than me, I took my first drink of alcohol when I was 14 years of age. I began to get involved politically and fight for a cause which I was totally ignorant of. Everybody else is doing it, so it must be right. After all, who wants to be called a yellow belly? And how true the word of God is, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. And friends, I went on in my sin. Your mother would have said, tell you where you're going tonight. Yes, I took a drink of alcohol. I was a bit like Columbus. I don't know how to get there. I went out and didn't know where I was going. When I got there, I didn't know where I was. When I got back, I didn't know where I'd been. Friend, that's a great truth. Because the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. And I went on in my sin. And one particular day, at this stage I was in my early 20s, coming out of a gambling den on the Castlereagh Road, totally unaware as a young man that I was gambling with my soul. I used to laugh and mock the people from the Iron Hall who preached the gospel at the old GP offices at the corner of Kinbond Street. I thought these people were crazy. There was something wrong with their head. But you know, the Lord does not make mistakes. And I remember coming out of a bookies on the Castlereagh Road one Saturday afternoon, and I met a young girl, her name was Rachel, a believer. It's quite remarkable, as an unsaved man, there were certain people who I regarded to be true Christians. Now you know where I'm coming from when I say that. When you're not with the crowd, the guys you knock about with, and you're on your own, and you bump into someone. This was a young girl who I respected very highly. You see, friends, the word of God says in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And even as an unsaved man, have you ever been in someone's company who knows Christ, and you've been the better for being in their company, even as an unsaved man? And in Proverbs 15, verse 13, it says, a merry heart maketh for a good countenance. This was a young girl, in Christian terms, who was a living epistle for Christ, a light, a salt cellar, someone who wasn't ashamed of the gospel. She asked me how I was doing. Andy, how are you doing? And being an unsaved man. Oh, I'm doing fine, Rachel. I wasn't doing a bit fine. I lost every shilling that I had. My mum and dad couldn't have sent me to the shop for a message. I lost every single penny they ever gave me to go to the shop for their lunch, their dinner, their tea. Friend, I'm not going into details. The past is not good. But thank God tonight it's under the blood. And we had a conversation that day as we walked round the road. And remember, simply through the grapevine about lives being changed in a particular church that you'd be familiar with. It's now called the Whitewell Metropolitan Tabernacle. At that time it was on the Whitewell Road. And lives were being changed. I'd heard of lives being changed. Men that I knew. I remember Rachel saying to me, oh, I'll go to church with you any time. You know, friend, we walked around the road and we stopped outside a drinking den. She went her separate ways, and I went mine. And you know, friends, within 48 hours, my name will be in the newspapers, the television news and the radio news. Remember going home one night, I left off the Woodstock Road, and there was a police cordon at the corner of my street. And I approached the police cordon, I was asked by a police officer my name, my address. I told him. He put his hand on my shoulder. He says, you're under arrest under Section 11 of the Prevention of Terrorism Act. I was arrested with my father and my three brothers. We were put into a police Land Rover and taken to Castlereagh Holding Centre. They had found two rifles and ammunition in the room where I slept. I have to tell you something, friends. I was 22 years of age, and I thought I was the big fella. I thought I knew it all. And I thought to myself, well, if I get no forensic evidence, I'll walk out of here. But being a young man at 22, I was in an awful situation, an awful dilemma. If I don't admit that these firearms belong to me, is it possible my father could be charged because he's a householder? And after 2 days, I relented and confessed that the weapons belonged to me. My dad and my three brothers were released. I was officially charged at Belfast Magistrates Court on a Saturday morning. I was remanded into custody. I was taken into a prison cell. The door shut behind me. I lay on top of a prison bed in tears, shut off from the outside world, the things that I loved, the people that I loved. Didn't know what the future held, whether there was a future at all. I remember picking up these little gospel tracts at the bedside locker and reading them and putting them down and picking them up and putting them down. And within about 20 minutes of being in that prison cell, my cell door was open and I was approached with a prison officer and a chaplain by the name of the Reverend Jackson Buick, a Presbyterian man, who brought me up into a little office to get my church affiliation, if I had any, and so on and so forth. I was in absolute despair. I thought about my Christian friend, the conversation, what might have been, what could have been. And I told him I was at the end of my tether, I had nothing to live for. And the man simply told me that God loved me and that Christ died for me. But that wasn't to happen there. I remember going back to my prison cell. I look back in hindsight now and I see the hand of God upon my life. I appeared on the High Court on the Wednesday of the following week for a bail application. I was released on bail from Crumlin Road Prison on a Wednesday at tea time. I decided, being an unsaved man, I'm finished with the paramilitaries. I'll still have my drink and my gambling. I'll do nobody any harm. But that particular night I had cause to go to Avenue Leisure Centre simply to reflect on my future. I was made aware by my solicitor and barrister that I faced an automatic custodial sentence because of the seriousness of the charge further down the line. However, that night at tea time, I went down to the leisure centre just to reflect on my so-called future. I had cause to walk up the stairs and across an area which was a cafeteria. And would you believe this, right bang centre in the middle of that cafeteria was a young lady, Rachel, with three friends. I wanted the ground to open up and swallow me, friends. I was embarrassed and ashamed. I plucked up the courage to go over and speak to her and sat down with my head in my hands. She asked me how I was. I said, Rachel, do you remember you told me you were praying for me to come to know Jesus as my Saviour? She says, yes, Andy, what's wrong? I says, I'm out in bail tonight on a firearms charge. Friends, I got up and I run out of the leisure centre, totally unaware of that great text in Psalm 139, where shall I flee from thy presence? I gambled the piece out again on the Saturday in the Castlereagh Road, lost every penny that I had, went home and took it out to my family as usual, nearly taking the doors off the hinges, broke my mother's heart, tried to change so many times, all to no avail. Remember lying up the stairs in my room, there was a knock at the door. A gentleman had come, he had heard about my predicament, he was a believer. It was a Saturday night. He was a driving instructor. He was teaching members of my family driving lessons. And he says, Andy, would you like to go along to church tomorrow night? Friends, I had no more thought of church than the man on the moon. But I thought I was doing God a favor by going to church. And I had a suit that I hadn't wore for a very long time. And the gentleman picked me up at 6:30 on Sunday night and took me to, you'll know it well, then the old Whitewell Metropolitan Church on the Whitewell Road. And friends, I'll never forget that night. I remember walking into this Christian meeting. As we know in Christian terms, here was these 1,500 people rejoicing, praising the Lord. And here was a big fellow walking in, faced like a lurking spade. No future, no hope. Prison sentence awaiting him. But then the pastor got up to preach the gospel. He preached in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. You know the story well, the tax collector, how Matthew was called from the receipt of custom, and how he related the tax collectors of the day in Rome, who were hooks and crooks, £3 of themselves and £1 of the government. And related that Matthew to the 21st century of today, how there was men in this land living in luxury homes, driving flashy cars, a living off the backs of the people. He says, if you're one of those men tonight and you come into this church, you'll go to hell with your oil money. You know, friends, the thing that struck me was this. You'll call, remember the story. They went back to Matthew's house to celebrate his conversion. And the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees criticized the Lord Jesus Christ. How come this man eats with publicans and sinners? And Christ rebuked them and said, it's not them that are whole that need a physician, but them that are sick. Go and ye learn what that meaneth. I have mercy and not sacrifice. Friend, here was the clincher. It's not them that are whole that are sick. It's not them that are sick, but them that are whole. Not them that are whole that need a doctor, but them that are sick. Go and ye learn what that meaneth. I have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. And friend, the Holy Spirit of God that night, like an arrow to my heart, I realized in the midst of that meeting of 1,500 people, I was the one that was sick from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Not the people around me who were ready, righteous, washed in the blood of Christ, rejoicing. I was the one that was sick with sin from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. And I want to tell you something tonight, friends. I bowed the knee in tears in repentance that night on the 9th of September 1985 and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And I want to tell you what happened that night. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 36, this is what God done for Andy Copeland. I will take out that heart of stone. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my ways. You see, friends, that's the great text. The Bible calls it being born again of the Spirit of God. It's not religion, it's redemption. It's not reformation, it's regeneration. It's a complete change. And the night that God saved me, you remember a man saying to me one night, big fella, how do you know you're saved? I was there when it happened. So Andy, tell me, when did you find God? Friends, I want to tell you something. I didn't find God. God found me. Because I can assure you tonight, if God was with me to come to him, he would still be waiting. And I thank God that night. That's the night the fountain was filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The Bible says sinners can plunge beneath the flood, will lose all their guilty stains. That the fairest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon will receive. And I bowed the knee that night in repentance and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And friends, tonight I want to tell you something. He changed my conduct. He changed my character. He changed my conversation. He changed the course of my life. He changed my companions. The things that I would once hate, I would now love. And the things that I loved, I would now hate. You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have gone, and all things have become new. It will no longer be the public house. It will be God's house. And I remember that night, the final hymn, I'll never forget it. I have a shepherd, one I know so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. And friends, I want to tell you something that night. The Lord Jesus Christ not only changed my heart, but he marvelously changed this here, the tongue. He changed my tongue. And I remember I had to go home, as the Bible says, to confess the name of Christ. And the first person I confessed Christ to was my own mother. She was visiting my aunt, her sister in Garneville. And remember, friends, that suit to me was a new suit. I went in there, a new suit on a man, and come out a new man in a suit. That's the difference that Christ can make. You see, it's not dressing up outwardly. It's the heart that needs to be changed, and the heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart tonight. And right across this province tonight, how true the word of God is tonight. And I believe we're living in that generation in Proverbs 30, verse 12. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, but have not been cleansed from their filthiness. Who can say my heart is clean? I am pure from my sin. Proverbs 20, verse 9. However, I went back that night to my aunt's house. I walked in the door and I said to my mother, I says, Mummy, I got saved tonight. I'm born again. You know, she said a thing to me. I still laugh and reflect on it. She says, son, I hope you keep it. Friends, tonight I want to tell you something. I'm not standing here tonight because I can keep it. I'm standing here tonight because I'm kept by the power of God through faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. I'm trusting in the work of Christ for me, the witness of the Holy Spirit in me and the word of God to me. And I went home that night. This was the greatest challenge of all, because every night my brother and myself, we would have bought the Belfast Holygraph for the horse racing the following day. And my brother didn't know where I had been that night. And I remember going into the bedroom that night, dressed in my suit. My brother was sitting with the telegraph, and he says to me, what do you fancy tomorrow? I said, I don't fancy anything. I says, I got saved tonight and born again. He said, there's something wrong with your head. Well, it wasn't, folks, it was my heart. And I thank God for that. But you know something, friends? My great desire, having been saved and washed and redeemed by the blood of Christ that Sunday night, I was standing at the corner of My Lady's Road outside the Church of Ireland, waiting to go to the prayer meeting and the Bible reading on the Monday. You see, Peter says, desire ye that in the seal mark of the word of God that you may grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer says, more of Jesus would I know, more of his grace the others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. I wanted to know more about this Lord Jesus Christ. But I was very conscious that there was a trial pending. On the 14th of June 1985, I stood before Lord Justice Gibson at Belfast Crown Court. But you know, folks, I thank God tonight that the intermittent period between being out in bail and being saved, that I went to a church that preached the gospel of Christ, who sung on the wonderful songs of Zion and the great courses. I make no apologies tonight. I'm old school. I love the old hymns, the blood and the cross and Christ. And how sadly today the word of God has been undermined. And how sadly today the word of God has been watered down. We've now got men in our pulpits who are giving the people what they want instead of what they need. What a difference in the generations and of the churches. When the early church was married to poverty, prison and persecution, the church of today is married to prosperity, popularity and personality. Thank God tonight for your minister. Pray for him. Thank God tonight that this brother can go home tonight and put his head on the pillow and say with Paul, I'm free of the blood of all men. How many can say that tonight across this province? Very few. However, I stood before Lord Justice Gibson, handcuffed to a prison officer. Oh, that great text thrilled my soul. Never been to prison in my life. Him who the Son sets free. It's free indeed. And I believe God was very gracious. My barrister told me I would get to expect anything between 10 to 12 years. I got 5 years imprisonment. I was taken down the tunnel underneath the Cumberland Road prison into a prison cell in a place called the basement for a 24, 48-hour period before I was being moved to serve my sentence in the Mays prison. You know, thank God tonight, folks, for the work of the Gideons. I remember going into that prison cell and I seen the Gideon Bible. Jeremiah got it when he said this in Jeremiah 15 and 16. I found thy words and I did eat them, and there was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And I remember lifting up the word of God at random. You'll know it well, Joshua chapter 1. I've never forgotten the text. I held on to it right through my prison sentence, right through as I stand in this pulpit today. At random, I opened the word of God. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be despaired, neither be afraid. For the Lord thy God will be with thee, wheresoever thy ghost. For as I was with Moses, shall I be with thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake me. Sake thee. No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. And friend, I remember singing all the great hymns and choruses in that prison cell. And about an hour after I was sentenced, a young man was brought into the same prison cell as me. Those were days when you were allowed to smoke in a prison cell. When I hit cigarettes, I can assure you, you imagine the space and a man sitting smoking. They called them roll-ups in. And I remember this man coming in, sentenced after me. And I got up off my bed in the cell to confess Christ. I told him my name was Andy Copeland. I told him I was a born-again Christian. And I got 5 years for possession of firearms. He told me his name was such and such. And friends, he got 16 years for attempted murder. Well, for a young man like me who hadn't been in prison before, I thought to myself, well, I'm only going for a sleep. This man's got 16 years. I didn't know what was going to confront me. But I felt this urge at 10 o'clock that night to seek God's face in prayer, because I knew the following day, this man, being a current member of a paramilitary organization, was going to go to a loyalist wing. And I was going to go to a wing for ODCs, ordinary decent criminals. That's what they called them. That was actually on your card outside the cell door. I was an ordinary decent criminal. It's not incredible for Northern Ireland. Nothing surprises me anymore. But you know something, friends? I remember I said to this big fella, do you mind if I have a word of prayer? Whatever you think yourself, mate. Friends, I got on my knees, and I think his mom expected me to pray into myself. I emptied myself on to God, and I simply said to the Lord, Lord, save such and such, and show him the error of his ways. That was it. The next morning, we were moved to the Mays prison. And friends, I'm not ashamed to tell you tonight to the glory of God. I sang every chorus and every hymn that I knew the whole way to the Mays prison. In fact, I was still singing that night at 12 o'clock. I remember the little chorus I was singing that I learned in that Pentecostal church. Born again has really been a change in me. Born again just like Jesus said. Born again all because of Calvary. I'm so glad that I've been born again. And then I heard this voice. This is when I knew there was believers on the wing. The simplicity of it all. Hey, Tonto, one of your mates. And friends, the next morning I got up and it thrilled my soul. I met 7 born-again believers in a wing of 26 men that were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of God. And I'm telling you something, folks, tonight. It wasn't wishy-washy nonsense. It was men who were grounded and rooted in the precious word of God. There was a work of grace. A wee bit about prison. How sad it is today. I was in prison when there was a chamber pot. It's unimaginable. A big pipe along the back wall. The heat was a nightmare if you needed to go to the loo. He improvised. But one dear brother who you'd be familiar with, no names will be mentioned, who used to make the wings toast with a steam iron sitting top of a round of bread. Best round of toast ever I ate. I'm being serious. I was amazed at the improvisation in prison. You know, I always tell the factual story. Sadly, today we've got educated criminals. Those were days when there wasn't such a thing as computers, when you could have got an education, so on and so forth. But we've got educated criminals today. I tell the story of the man who went to the magistrate's court for stealing a bag of coal. He had 6 months in jail, but didn't get an education, come out and sold a coal lorry. Sadly, today the regime is totally different. But I was in prison, folks, when it was prison. When it was a tight regime in many ways. But the thing about it is this, folks. I've discovered as a Christian that your joy as a believer does not depend on your circumstances. See, it wouldn't be what prison would do to me, but what prison would do for me as I would grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good Apostle Paul, speaking in Philippians from a prison cell reading to the church at Philippi, said this, I will have you to know, brethren, the thing which have happened unto me was for the furtherance of the gospel. You see, the will of God will never lead you, but the grace of God can't keep you. And I thank God tonight we had the great joy and privilege of baptizing a young man in the bath in the Mays prison. We met around the word of God on a Wednesday night. We broke bread on a Sunday morning. We were a separated people, even inside the Mays prison. You see, friends, even within prison, the world is always watching. And we're meant to be living epistles for Christ, read and known of others. But time is racing on. My wife always says, tell me, don't forget the story of the man in jail. So I better tell you that now. The answer is to prayer. I had the great privilege in 1992. I got out of prison in 1987 after 2.5 years. I had the great privilege of pointing my nephew to Christ in my living room floor. Now, he wasn't a paramilitary, but he was a thief. for want of a better word. And he's standing one night on the road. He was having what you call a housewarming party. He got a little house. And he couldn't take a drink of alcohol. He was under conviction of sin. And I was always very skeptical of him. I was coming back from a Bible reading and a Bible under my arm. I'm telling you this story because it relates to the man in prison. And he says to me, Andy, could I speak to you? I says, what is it, Alan? He says, I'm having a party tonight. He says, I haven't taken a drink of alcohol. He said, I've got no peace. He said, I've seen a change in your life. He said, I want what you've got. And I took him down to my flat, at a wee flat that time, facing Rathmore Street, City Mission, or Gospel Hall. And I pointed him to Christ. And thank God tonight he's got on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Married the lovely girl and a wee boy called Daniel. However, later on in the early 90s, he bumped into a gentleman, you'll know it very well, Eddie Spence's chip shop on the Bearsbridge Road. And as you do, you get into a conversation with people in the queue. They didn't know each other, never met each other in their lives. And this guy turned around and said out of the blue, do you live in East Belfast yourself? My cousin says, they do. But you know a big fella by the name of Andy Copeland? He says, I do. My cousin started smirking. He said, what are you smirking at? He says, that's my cousin. He says, he led me to Christ, let's say 6 years ago. He says, will you tell him for me, I'm the fella that he prayed for in a prison cell, a Crumlin Road prison. I thought he was a head case. Tell him I came to Christ 6 years ago. And friends, me and my wife was in the Free Methodist Church a number of years ago at a prayer service. And they had the bulletin out for the following week. And lo and behold, in the back of the bulletin, who was the speaker the following week? At this point, it would have been 21 years from my seeing this man that I prayed for. He was the speaker the following week. I called the pastor over and I said to him, is that such and such? Is he from the Shanklin? Do you know him? I said, do you know him? He said, I want to hear a true story. So I told him what I said to you. He said, don't tell him I'm coming down next week. So me and my wife went down to the church and he got up and he gave a great word. And as you know, the speaker stands at the door on the way out. I walked out the door, and there was a girl sort of walking about the place in the foyer. And I walked up and I held his hand. I says, Brother, God bless you. I says, thank you very much. I says, that was a great message. And I never moved. He looked at me. He says, I don't know you. And as soon as I said this to him, let me take you back to the basement of the Crumlin Road prison in 1985. And just whole complexion changed. He says to us, Rosie, come here. Here's this head case I was telling you about. I said, Brother, it's good to be a head case for Jesus. And friends, tonight, I just want to tell you something tonight. Is a Christian life easy? No. But I'll tell you something tonight. I wouldn't swap what I've got tonight for the life that I used to live. You know why? Sin and its pleasure is only for a season. Because there's none but Christ who can satisfy. There's no other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus Christ, found in thee. What about you tonight, friend, in the meeting? You've never stood in a court of law in your life. You've never been in prison. You never took a drink of alcohol. And you know something, friend? One writer has said this. The devil is never out of his diocese, the church. And the devil's telling you tonight, lady, or gentleman, you're too good. You don't need to be saved. You know what the Bible says? In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're too good, you don't need to be saved. If you look at that big fella, he needed to be saved. Friends, you need to be saved, good or not good. And then there's others in the meeting tonight, the devil will tell you, you're too bad. You can't be saved. But know what the book says tonight, folks? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, what a text of scripture. Come now, tonight, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. There's no sin that you've committed that Christ didn't die for. to those sins that you committed that Christ cannot forgive tonight. As you've already said, the fellest offender truly believes that more from Jesus the pardon will receive. And friend, tonight, the saddest and most difficult one of all is this. The devil's telling people in this meeting tonight, there's no heaven, there's no hell, and there's no hurry. You know what the book says, folks? It is time to seek the Lord. When? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of God's so great salvation. He that hardeneth his neck, being often reproved, shall surely be destroyed, and that without remedy. And friend, we've heard sadly tonight, even in that prayer meeting, of dear people launched into eternity over the last 48 hours. Thank God, there's one dear saint of God with Christ tonight. But what about you, friends, tonight? And then there's the backslider tonight. I finish with this. The Word of God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I simply ask you the question, dear friend, dear backslidden friend, who's moved? Let us pray. Our Father, again tonight we give thee thanks, Lord, for your saving grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee tonight as we bow in your holy presence, even as we speak, that there's still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and that sinners can still plunge beneath the flood, will lose all their guilty stains. Father, tonight we commit the remainder of this gathering and evening, Father, to thee. And we pray, Lord, tonight, even while the voice of this speaker is silent, that the Holy Spirit of God tonight would convict and convince of sin. That there will be people in this meeting tonight may consider their ways and maybe even remember the Lord in the days, Father, of their youth. We thank thee, Lord, tonight, Father, for every good and perfect gift that comes from thee. Even we, Lord, who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Father, tonight that you're a good God, a God tonight who knows us better than we know ourselves, the very hairs upon our head that are numbered tonight. And you've given us all things richly, Father, to enjoy. We thank thee tonight for the clothes on our back, for the shoes on our feet, for the food on our table. And Father, Lord, tonight, for the every and the many spiritual blessings in heavenly places in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, tonight we commit the evening to thee. We ask thee that thou wouldst help us in thy fear and with thy favour, giving unto you the praise and the honour and the glory, Father, that is due unto thy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.
I want to thank Andy tonight for coming and giving his testimony. Pray the Lord be pleased to use that and speak to hearts this evening. And as he said, you may never go into the depths of sin that Andy went into. But it matters not tonight. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. All need to be saved. We pray that tonight finds you in this meeting out of Christ, that you will come and know Andy's Saviour. Pray the Lord will bless that testimony to our